Hello everyone and welcome to our show. My name is Bart and I invite guests for a short 20 minutes interview to inspire you and improve your sales and marketing the human way.
Let's build a business based on H2H, not B2B, but human-to-human sales and marketing automation. A human approach is the only one that sells.
Today, I'd like to welcome Bethan Vincent, founder and managing partner at Open Velocity, and also podcast host, The Brave. Welcome to the show, Bethan.
Hello, hello. Thank you so much for having me.
So today's topic is why business confidence isn't delivering on growth. I really enjoy your great report, which is highly recommended to anyone growing a business in tech. The report is titled Marketing Vulnerabilities in Tech and IP-Led Companies. Love the report. It's a massive document, 30, 40 pages long. We want to a little bit talk about that report, but also your experience working with tech companies. Just a little bit briefly, 2-3 minutes, Bethan. Explain why you created this report.
Yeah, I guess we've been working, you know, I've been in marketing for 15 years now. We've been as a business running for almost 3 years. And we go into clients where they might have an amazing product, an amazing service, you know, they've developed really novel or new technology and IP, but they just find traction and growth really hard. I mean, growth is hard, right? And we wanted to dig under the surface to understand what's actually going on. Like, why is growth really difficult and delivering on growth really hard from a marketing kind of sales perspective? And also, what are the kind of conditions that influence whether people are growing, whether they're confident in their growth? So that's really what the report kind of dissects. Do they have marketing kind of foundations, fundamentals in place, and how does that influence growth?
And so that's based on 2024 information from your contacts, your community, your clients, customers. Is that right?
Well, we actually commissioned a proper research survey.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah, we used Savanta, so a very well-known kind of research organization.
Brilliant.
And it was a panel of 117 business leaders from UK businesses where tech or proprietary IP is a driving part of their proposition.
Brilliant. So let's focus on B2B a little bit, you know, because I think like in within my ecosystem, we work most likely with B2B companies. And I really like this strong message here. B2B business are lagging behind their B2C counterparts. They are less likely to invest in in-house marketing expertise and less likely to validate their proposition before launch. B2B organizations were more likely to have a great idea and launch it as soon as possible. I'm a little bit laughing because I've been experiencing this from the CRM perspective. Why do you think is that?
I think there's a couple of things going on. I mean, the really interesting thing for me was when we went into this report, we expected B2C, business confidence, to be lower than B2B. Mm. Obviously, the current economic climate, not great from a consumer spending recessionary point of view, but it was actually B2B companies who were less confident in their growth. But I think it depends on your setup for B2B and whether, you know, you're just launching a service like you or I. It's pretty easy to go to market and test out and validate very quickly. And there's maybe a bit of that going on. And I think also B2B businesses are often less connected to the customer, that they are less likely to do consumer research. They are less likely to, like we said, validate the proposition. And, you know, we know that B2C businesses often have a very consumer facing point of view. They're often, you know, investing a lot in consumer research, for example, as well before launch or as part of the launch process. So I think it's a bit of a, this is a long way of saying, I think it's a little bit of a B2B mindset that, oh, we can just launch and we can do what we want and we'll validate it in market. We don't need to do any of this understanding the customer stuff. We'll do that through doing. But obviously that can be quite an expensive way of validating something and testing out your proposition.
100%. It's very interesting what you say. I'd like to just follow up the question to this. Is it, do you think, like, lack of leadership within some of the B2B business in terms of like actually like leadership comes with obviously confidence and confidence comes with, you know, experience and so on and so forth. But what would you take, like what kind of key ingredients would you say the teams are lacking in order to, you know, validate this, the idea before launch, the product, the service?
This is a very self-interested answer, but I think often marketing is missing, or a marketing kind of voice in the conversation. Again, I just think that's more likely in B2C organizations to have a marketer there from the start. Whereas in B2B, often it's a kind of sales-led growth effort where you're kind of brute forcing the market, if I'm perfectly honest, and you don't need loads of opportunity to get some traction. So it's like, oh, we'll just leave growth to sales. Marketing isn't part of the equation. So yeah, it's not having marketing in the room. And I think also there's a whole swathe of CEOs and founders, and I really do have to put myself in their shoes, because if you've never experienced what marketing can actually do for your organization, it's quite hard to have that belief to invest in it. If sales is working and you're brute forcing the effort that way, you're naturally going to think, well, we'll just do more of this. Why do we need marketing? It's this big spend. You know, there's a lot of kind of misconceptions about it's going to be a huge spend, huge effort. You know, the return's going to be 5-10 years as we build this brand. I mean, obviously, and that's another point the report makes, you've got to balance short-term and long-term thinking in marketing. But I think, yeah, it's really hard to know if it's going to work in a way if you've never experienced it before. And that's where having someone with that expertise is important, who can guide you and has made the mistakes before.
I like your misconception of B2B marketing. So like one of the report is massive, and at the end of the report, obviously you take a place that you have own views and how this should look like. And you did mention with quite a lot of different components of your marketing, such as, you know, customer and target audience understanding. Let's pick up the first one, because I think this one of the key findings was that we don't know who we sell to.
Yeah.
We don't know who we sell to. And this is probably one of the opener, like, okay, if we don't know who we sell to, we can't market properly.
Yeah. Or you spend a lot of money trying to cover a vast audience surface area to make sure you've got enough, you know, net to capture the people you want, as opposed to being very targeted with it. And also often your proposition is very broad as well. If you're going after a broad audience, you're selling to everyone, and your message is often, our product is perfect for everyone.
Yeah, that's we come across the same scenario when it comes to CRM implementation, so I completely resonate with that. So the question is, like, obviously helping to find the audience, right audience, and maybe teach the whole organization who we actually are and who we're targeting. That's probably a challenge. Obviously, one piece is to talk to sales and marketing, and then marketing to deliver it. How would you reckon the approach across the teams, not only marketing, to actually get and understand who actually we are and who we target?
I'm a really big fan of workshopping things as both a way of finding an answer, right, and bringing together that cross kind of team expertise, but also to get buy-in for the answer as well. I think it can be quite difficult when marketing just rocks up with a like target audience, target persona, however you're doing it, ICP document, and goes like, boom, on the table, here you go, guys, this is our target audience. And I've got to say, you know, that there are marketers of mixed abilities, right? There are some amazing people and there are some non-amazing people. I think a lot of people use personas as a bit of a crux, and they'll make it up and they'll be like, our persona is Judy, who works in marketing. She has dogs and she likes, and that's useless. Like, that's not going to be helpful. So A, you've got to bring people together. You've got to bring people along the journey, but you've actually got to base your target audience on actual insight and information. That can be, you know, there's plenty, depending on the industry you work in, there's probably plenty of industry information out there on buyers, but actually go and speak to people. You know, we do this a lot for clients, doing that kind of insight research piece. You know, panel your top 10 customers and ask them about their buying journey. How do they select people? How do they understand the competition? That's going to give you, yep, even if you do it with 10 people, quite a lot of interesting information to help you. It's about narrowing down. You can't be everything to everyone. You have to narrow that down from a budgetary point of view and from a proposition messaging point of view.
That's very I made my notes old-fashioned way. I use my my pencil and the paper.
You do right.
my brain works better with this one. Buy in. I think this is the key to me. I choose this one because if we won't have understanding of the teams and why we are doing this and aligning the approach of who we target, and we want that buy in, basically nobody will bother. Then, like, there's no motivation within the team, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think also as well, sales can sometimes be left out of the conversation weirdly around who is the target audience, when they are the people speaking to people every day, and they will have a really good, probably quite intuitive sense of, you know, who is a good fit prospects. When they jump on a call, they kind of know, like, is this going to be a good conversation or not, based on what they know about that prospect. So bring them in, extract that information out of them. You know, marketing and sales should be working on all of the kind of recommendations in our report around, like, these are the foundational elements you need in place. You should be working with sales on that. You should be working with, you know, across all departments on that, but you really should be working with sales on those foundational elements.
And that actually nicely brings me to the next questions. And I think one of the points, obviously, that you mentioned in the your report is measuring the right KPIs. KPIs means, obviously, number of different things. But one of them is actually how many people are we creating, you know, in whatever system, how many of them are marketing qualified leads and then sales qualified leads. So that MQL and SQL in our world. Tell me, like, what is your take on that alignment? Like, when marketing should stop and sales should start?
I don't think there is a stop and start. I think, well, in terms of what number does marketing carry, I think that's often an important question. And obviously, marketing, if you're not literally sat there closing deals, you have little influence when you pass over that MQL to as an SQL to sales. But you want full visibility of that pipeline process. And I think another KPI that I'm really keen people marketing tracks is opportunity value, deal value. And again, HubSpot obviously makes that super easy for you. That's a number marketing should carry. But it's interesting. There's a lot of debate, obviously, in our industry about, are MQLs useful anymore? Is it actually a useful metric to track? Or is the concept of an MQL kind of outdated? And I think really, obviously, it depends. That's such a marketing answer, right? But I think you've got to have really clear definitions around what an MQL actually is and what an SQL actually is. And I know this sounds really basic, but lots of organizations don't even document that. So everyone's kind of operating in this slight confusion between, okay, what's the difference between a lead, MQL, SQL? What are we disqualifying people based on as well? Because marketing should be looking at that report as well. Okay, we've driven this many leads, MQLs, how many of them have been disqualified, which channels have they been generated from? So yeah, sorry, that's a very wishy-washy answer that is trying to get to the heart of everyone really should be looking at all of this together. You might be carrying from a actually targeted on perspective different numbers, but both marketing sales own the process end to end.
Love it. It's actually the process, I think, you know, that's why it's not that easy to explain and even just to process the things between MQL, SQL and who is there. We can't just basically segment people based on their clicks on marketing brochure. You know, it's not the right one, isn't it? It's a bit buyer journey. Is it journey? Is it maybe not even buyer, but is it journey? Is this something that we can need to recognize that everyone's got different pace of different things?
Yeah.
And that decision-making process can take longer, especially with enterprise clients and massive deals. But also recognizing the different roles within organizations. And I think this is kind of aiming to this discussion about ABM. Probably not, we don't have too much time about that, you know, specifically. However, what I would say is that journey probably needs to be well recognized within all organization, different departments, but also recognizing needs for different types of touch points. That's something is missing. We just calling them or they calling us. We have a number of meetings and we think this is going to be deal made. It's actually not. Quite a lot of things around, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think that there's a couple of things that I want to unpick. So there's a difference between input and output metrics, and measuring both is pretty important. of, you know, and lots of people either measure input or either measure output and don't get the full sense of that journey. And then just back to the point around kind of buyer journeys, you know, we know, think about anything you've purchased recently, we know the buyer journey isn't linear, we know the marketing funnel, it's a useful guide, it's a useful way of thinking about how people buy, but it doesn't actually reflect the reality. So everyone wants people to fall, their customers to fall in this neat little funnel, and they go through this, you know, awareness, consideration, activation, depending on your terminology, whatever funnel you're using. That is not the case. People are jumping in and out, and Gartner's got some really interesting research around this, jumping in and out of different stages. So again, that's why I go back to that customer research, like I chatted through before, because actually asking people how they buy, what are the big influences? In B2B, particularly at the moment, what we're seeing is testimonials, ratings, reviews, third-party proofs, so huge touch points. And that gives you a clue of actually that's really important. We need to be present there. We need to bolster up our presence there. And actually, third-party trust can help at any stage of the funnel. So I guess that's my little rant against the funnel isn't dead, but it's not necessarily very useful. And measure multiple things. Measure inputs, measure outputs.
I really love the third-party trust is something that people sometimes overuse or like don't use at all. And that's that authentic approach, like really when you have some short video, I don't know, a minute, even less. And then that really proper conversation, how you actually sort your client's pains. And to be honest with you, when I choose the platform of any choice, I typically watch the reviews for different reasons. You know, it's I enjoy it because it's just third party validation. Obviously, that might be an obvious pain or hate or influence type of arrangement, but that kind of gives me oh wow, that's okay, that's a different perspective, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think also that what you've described there is you self serving your information. You know, you haven't spoken to a sales rep yet. And my big rant I go on quite a lot is no one wants to speak to sales. Sorry, sales, but no one actually really wants to speak to you unless they are ready to buy, which is a good thing for you because you want to speak to people who are ready to buy. You don't want to waste your time. So if you're forcing everyone to get pretty basic information around pricing or features or even just like how the hell this works, you know, what's the onboarding process going to look like? If you're forcing people to speak to people for that, you're wasting a load of your sales reps' time and you're really frustrating the customer as well. So there's this big, and we one of our kind of previous reports touched on this as a big kind of trend of like B2C behaviors. So this idea of I self-serve information, I want to buy myself, you know, not go through a sales rep. That is spilling over into B2B now, where people do, they want to own their purchase journey. So any control, and if you try and force them down this really linear funnel, any control you taking away from them actually is going to give you, well, do you a disservice.
Brilliant. Thank you very much for this. One of the final questions I do have, but one of the reason I've set up this podcast is to talk about human approach to sales and marketing. And what's your take? What you know, how do you sell while still maintaining a human touch now in B2B world?
Yeah, I mean, I always go back to, we've got this explosion of kind of AI now, and right, we can't do a conversation about what is human without talking about what is not human. And I use AI a lot in, you know, LLMs a lot in my own workflows. But I think when it comes to things like content, there is a huge risk from a, even from a sales email perspective or a marketing content perspective to ceding the control to the humans, because they can only, the way LLMs work, they're predicting the next, you know, most common next word, they're prediction machines, and they're recursion to the mean, they're the recursion to the average. So if you're relying on that, you're only ever going to be average. And actually what makes great salespeople is that rapport, is that kind of insight, is that personal perspective. That's what machines do not have, cannot have, and they don't get nuance either. So I think, you know, if you want to sell and market well in a world where everyone else is producing AI generated crap, actually going back to, okay, what is my unique perspective? What do I have to say on this subject? What is my tone of voice that is me, that is not, you know, polished and AI generated? That actually, there's a huge opportunity for people to be more human at the moment, but it does rely on you having a perspective and having an opinion on things, which some people, you know, they either don't want to have an opinion or don't want to do the work to have an opinion on a subject. So I'm kind of saying put in the work to be opinionated on the things you want to create content around, to be an opinionated salesperson who understands, okay, my prospects are probably looking at these five different options. I can help guide them through the sales process in understanding, okay, why is option A maybe not as good for them as me, and option B, C, D, all of that stuff. So yeah, the being more human requires being more human.
It is like this, isn't it? Sounds
awesome. Sounds silly, but I think AI is like, it's like junk food, right? It kind of like the first time you see it, it kind of looks quite good, it tastes quite good, but the more and more you consume it, especially from a consumption perspective, the more and more it feels really empty. It's like empty calories of content.
Yes. That's right. I think this is like probably the one, we are one of the early adopters. When you look probably back in 10 years' time, we are now at the very beginning of this journey. It's like when broadband was launched, everyone had access to everything, you know, oh, wow, everything. But well, now we know how this can be used in terms of the smart house, smart watches and so on. And that kind of evolved over the time. So that's probably will need to have a little bit of education. Yeah. Like we are now testing things, still testing, I think. How long AI was for? Obviously for long, but widely available, maybe 2 years, I probably guess.
Yeah, and I think that testing is quite interesting, because what that means is like that's why there's this flood, because everyone's kind of playing around with it and trying to work out what works. But as I said, like the kind of flood of content creates an opportunity in a way for people to stand out above it, if that makes sense. You know, in everyone doing the same thing, there is always an opportunity for someone to do something different. And a big part of marketing, and this is one of the foundational building blocks we talk about, is being distinctive, being unique, being different. So again, I'd be thinking about how do we use AI in a way where we are still preserving our difference, our uniqueness.
Brilliant. Love it. That's the key takeaways. Thank you very much, Bethan, for your time. I know we are all busy running all of these teams and efforts to make our B2B people, you know, more productive. I'll definitely will link up on this episode to your report and to your podcast, The Brave. Love to invite our listeners to, you know, to get that content, to see, empower, to inspire. Any final word from you?
Thank you for having me. Like, it's been really enjoyable. And I guess I think we're about to go through, you know, everyone says this, a period of massive change in the way B2B marketing and sales works. But I think we really are going through that really big change at the moment. Buyers are now mostly millennial. You know, there's a generational shift happening. There's a technological shift happening. There's also a cultural shift happening as well.
Excellent, Bethan. Thank you very much. And hope to speak to you later at your own show.
Let's build a business based on H2H, not B2B, but human-to-human sales and marketing automation. A human approach is the only one that sells.